bless your heart. It was just such a rich time. From the time we picked him up from the train station, we began in the car, basically. We coming back to the house, and God had blessed us with some really nice weather. God bless you, Amy Battles, by the way. Welcome. And so we sat in the back garden, and Kim was making coffee, and it was me, Britt, and Carl Morton. And so we just, Carl Morton got his dictaphone out as I began to speak, and but God was just really inspiring many different things. You know, the greatest thing that we can tell is our testimony, what God's done in our life. And if you, Carl was recorded already, look. That's great. So our testimony is very powerful because we know it's real. We know the acts of God in our own life, and that's what we're to give. And these testimonies give praise to God and make room for more, that's for sure. So we just shared our life, our journey. I was sharing my life and my journey all over the weekend, actually, different points at different times. Great learning that we had, great misunderstanding we had, different people that were involved that kind of helped us and then didn't help us. And but that all through that is a learning process. It was a journey. We're on a journey with God. And so for all these different situations, negative and positive, we can glean all the best out of it. You know, we can see the pitfalls. We can see the error of, you know, doctrines as well. And then so when we begin to practice, we can see great things happen. And like I've been sharing, you know, if we, how we've learned from the scriptures, someone that's learning from the scriptures and someone that's learning by what's being inspired by the living God, it still can be just come knowledge if we don't practice it. And all of what we're encouraging, you can practice, you can do, you can put it into action in your life with God. And we've all heard that saying, learning is exciting adventure. Mm-hmm. And learning and growing with God is an exciting adventure. And, you know, we have things that come up like our emotions. We might have such a great day today and wake up the next day feeling like we're totally out of it, and we, you know, we've got to kind of gather everything in our hearts and minds. So it's as we recognize that we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We bring it in subjection. We don't look at the logic of the world and the logic of what's happening around us, but we go by the logic of God, the logos of God, what God is saying, the truth of who we truly are in Christ, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the head and not the tail, that we are redeemed, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are rich, we're rich in the heart, we have an abundance of God's wonderful spirit in our heart and knowledge and wisdom and joy, and that God is working in us, that Jesus Christ is and has made intercession for us, that we are victorious, that as Jesus is, so are we right now. We are in his stead, and we can walk like he walked, that we can do the same works that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ done, that we can follow the pattern of his life, and that as we orientate ourselves to God, like he orientated himself to God, that we can walk just like him. We can be those two posses of Christ. And we see that in the book of Acts. Like Carl Morton was mentioning, on the day of Pentecost, they received Holy Spirit. And then we can see a big change in the heart of Peter, how boldness come. Fear left him and boldness come, because he was afraid. Many days before that, he was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, right? And so now he's got this holy boldness, this Holy Spirit boldness. And in that spirit, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind and words that he can energize in a heart that's submitted to him, in a heart that's willing to speak forth his words, in a heart that is obedient, and in a heart that wants to put God first in every situation. And so Peter stood up and he declared boldly, you know, and God was working in him, bringing the scripture of Joel back to his mind to tell the people, this is what you see and hear. And then it says, with many other words, it doesn't say the many other words, but the people were pricked and pierced in their hearts. What do we do? And what did Peter say? Repent In other words, not like the what we see on the film, it's repent, you sinner. Nothing like that. It was repent, change direction, make the right decisions. You've got another choice now. You can either carry on in the way you've been living, or you can change around and come this wonderful way, and you can continue. And it says that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, what God was energizing and encouraging and working through those apostles at that time. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. See, the doctrine, it needs to be on. It needs to be on point. And it needs to come from God, not man's knowledge, not man's wisdom. And so they were explaining all these wonderful things. I'm sure they were explaining many things about what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished. That this Jesus was the Messiah whom God had chosen to save the world from their sins and their wicked ways, right? To bring them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. This is the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. It's a gospel of salvation, deliverance, wholeness, healing. And these words were building great faith in the heart of the people. And God was working grace in every heart, in that they continue together in fellowship, in breaking the bread, and in prayers, and sharing of one's heart to one another. They were fully sharing of their hearts and of their things as well. And signs, miracles, and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles amongst them. Many people got healed. You know, these signs, miracles, and wonders. Many people led into speaking in tongues. Maybe they didn't speak in tongues right away. And whatever God was energizing and working, when we read Acts 2, 42 to 47. And they were so touched in their hearts that they wanted to share of their priority. They wanted to give and bless. That every need was met amongst them. And then God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Because every heart was right. There was no division in that group, in those among 3,000. You know, and God was energizing. This was the beginning of the age of grace. This new way of life, the way of following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit of God. Now we've received that Spirit of God, we too now can be led by the Spirit of God. And then we see in Acts 3, it can continue. God didn't just start with 3,000, He added more.
Yeah.
Peter and John on the way to the temple to pray. Why were they on their way to the temple? Because even though the new day of grace had come, the customs and traditions were still the same, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of things had to be worked out. There was a transition in time from this law to grace. And so they, as their manner was, they went to the church to pray. And on the way, they see this guy that had desire to receive something. And God worked in them by that Spirit. And they perceived that he had faith to be healed. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, give I unto you. What did they have? Holy Spirit. What have you got? Holy Spirit. What can you give? You can give that Holy Spirit by way of ministering, healing, raising people from the dead, walking in signs, miracles, and wonders, bringing glory to God, being inspired with those heavenly words to preach concerning Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is about. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the acts of God and his love for the world, that he sent his son, and his son was obedient. His son looked only to God. His son brought about deliverance, that many were oppressed of the devil, but he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because what? God was with him. God is with you. It's God in Christ in you. Now you have a direct access to the Heavenly Father. You can turn your whole heart and being to God. And see believers, leaders, jobs, apostles, prophets, founders, pastors, and teachers, like I said, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, is to direct every heart to God. That now you can walk. Now you can declare. Now you can move. And you follow in these sound words that we're giving you. You follow these sound heavenly words that is connecting you to God, so that you can do the same works that the Lord Jesus Christ done. Because he said we could do the same works that he done and greater, and we certainly can. many miracles have happened since the day of Pentecost. Yeah. All through the centuries. There may be a dry period of time, but God is not dormant. God only needs one person to believe. It took one person to lead millions out of Israel, Egypt, at the direction of God, with God working with Moses, building his faith. It took one man to believe God so that he could become the father of many nations. It took one man to stay and hold on to the promises of God that he fed the well, Joseph, from the pit to the palace, and that God's line could continue to the line of Christ. It just takes one person, just one person. You can be that one person, King David, that one person. You know, we can see with our physical eyes. And I just love that with Samuel. You know, he went to Jesse, who had these sons. God had chosen David, but he got all his sons lined up, but he left David in the fields. You know, the one they forgot about. And God showed Samuel, look, no, this is not, I don't go by the eyes. I know, I go by what's in the heart. And God is, that's what God is interested in. He's interested in your heart. He wants your heart to turn to him. David was a man after God's own heart. God was teaching him and training him when he was leading those sheep. You know, it wasn't no small job like we would see it from the physical. But God was doing a work in David's heart, preparing him. You know, he fought off bears and lions with the staff and the rod. You know, and he was bold and he was brave as a young man. He feared nothing. And God loves that heart, because God doesn't give us fear. He's a God of faith. He's a faith God. God all through the generations looking for people that believe him, that will receive his words. So God worked with David, and when it came time, David was anointed, right, king. But he didn't become that straight away. You know, he took on Goliath and all these different situations. Then he had Saul get jealous of him. Saul was the leader. At that time, he was king. He lost it, didn't he, by not obeying the prophet, the one that had the Spirit of God upon him, Samuel. And he was disobedient. And he went and kept back stuff from the slaughter when he was told not to take anything. And then so Samuel was really, you know, a strong man of God, not diverted, very committed, didn't worry about what people said. And he says, you know, I thought I told you not to do anything till I come. What's this bleeping in my ears I hear? You know? And so from that time, he lost the kingdom. And so God raised up David. And then Saul became jealous. You know, they got very jealous of him. And sought after his life. But God kept David. And he was such a man of integrity. Such a beautiful man of God. That he could have took the life of Saul, and he didn't. Because he knew that Saul was the anointed of the Lord. He said, I wouldn't do that, this anointed of the Lord. You know, he had respect. Then God kept him and delivered him. And then he had that wonderful relationship with Jonathan, Saul's son, right? So God is good, God is kind, and he knows what he's doing. And when we allow him to work in our lives, when we cease from trying to think that we know it all, you know, I've had to do a lot of that, cease from knowing it all, you know, then God humbles us and he gives us his heart, his thoughts, his ideas. And then he's able to lead us. He's able to guide us. He's able to reveal to us. He's able to help us see through all the things that we thought were right. We're actually not 100% right. Some great things. And then it's just a decision to change and move in that way of God. And when we do that, you will have opposition. You'll have people speak about you. That's fine. I've had people speak about me all my life, you know, but I keep staying with God because I love God. I love my Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for me. And I'm not afraid to speak and stand up. I'm not afraid to lose friends. And they weren't really friends if I've lost them. Especially if I'm standing up for what I know is to be right. So God is looking for men and women that look only to God. And leaders will direct people to God. Yeah, they may connect to a leader, but like that leader should be encouraging them to connect directly to God. Now you go to God. If you do these things, you are going to flourish and you are going to prosper, and God is going to open up great doors for you. And so God brings to me people that type of heart.
Yeah.
Okay, and I had two of them come from Norway. And we had a really wonderful time, and you can tell when someone's humble and ready to receive, because God gives you the words. They just flow out. They just flow out. And there was many questions, and God really worked in Kim also to share some great, great things. In the car when we was driving to Minehead and up to Linton and Lymouth. I mean, it's a nice long drive, and we shared lots and lots in that, because we knew that if we get them in the car, they couldn't escape. They had to listen, they had no choice, right? So we made sure we locked them in that car. No going to the bathroom, no going to the kitchen, no going, oh, I just need to go and get something from my room. We locked them in the car, boy. God gave us wisdom. So we drove all the way from Bristol to Minehead, and then we just preached at them. No, we didn't. We just had a lovely time of fellowship, and and they were asking the questions. So that's another wonderful indicator that when people are asking questions, because sometimes, you know, we may be believing something to be true, and then when someone brings up that question because you've said something, that's different to what they learned. Then there was time to then elaborate on that and show the heart and the depths of that, and then the benefit and the profit of that. And then so that brought clarity to the direction of what we're sharing and what we're doing here. And then so thankfully, like Carl Morton and Britt, very humble, and they received our words gladly. You know, just like on the day of Pentecost, they received Peter's words gladly. They changed direction, and they could see there was a more excellent way. So, you know, the scriptures are wonderful, and they're given by inspiration of God, and they're profitable. And, you know, for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction, right? So the scriptures are our base, but God has given us, has clothed us with that Holy Spirit so that we can really move and be directed and navigated in this day and time. And so, you know, it's not that we neglect the scriptures, because we don't, but we go... We're led by God. Everything to be directed by God. Go into the scriptures, directed by God. He puts in your heart when to go, when not to go. And, you know, when you go with God, he opens them up to you. He verifies the things that you've been learning. The things I'm sharing, you know, when God shows you to go to scripture, you'll start to see, oh, right, this is right. This is not actually wrong, what he's saying. You know, and that's what happened to me. I was on a journey of learning and discovering and relearning. But I had to be in a position to receive that. And so this is what's happened. I could see the same thing in Carl Morton and Britt. I can see it was like new for them, even though they've been practicing what we have been sharing. But being together face to face, they've seen the witness, not just of what's in our hearts and what we're saying, but in our life and in our manner of life. And, you know, and we was able to really bless them. We had the mind of God and Christ in us, activated to take care of our guests, to treat them the best so they can receive the best, so that they weren't distracted. And we had great fun and laughter as well, especially when we were sitting in the cafeteria. And one lady, she was on a break, and she worked for Asda, but she couldn't go to work because she's on a time frame, and so she couldn't take the next delivery flight for the next 3 hours. And we're there talking around the table, and she's earwigging. So then we started joking around with her and sharing a little bit, and it was good. And then she followed us around the town, didn't she? Lisa, her name was Lisa, I didn't forget her because she had a great heart. So, like, our life is a witness. We're to be known and read of all men. We are the living epistles, known and read of all men. Our life is to give that witness. And then as we grow and develop, you know, then fruit starts within and then it comes without. There's a period of rise. There was a period of rise in me before I really connected where I needed to connect, and then started to really practice from my heart these things. And like I was sharing with Carl Morton and Britt, you know, it doesn't matter what you're being told even now. If you don't practice it, you're not going to see the godly results that he wants you to have and what you desire to have. So it's the practice of these things. And that's why we encourage, you know, like speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit of God. Allow God to give you the words, those heavenly words. And that doesn't mean to say neglect the scripture. No one's saying that. All right, so we clarify that one now. And to honor God with your substance. That's for your prosperity. That's for your abundance. Because God supplied your need. according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's given you bread for your food, but he's also given you seed to sow. So when we do that with understanding, then we can do it with a cheerful heart, a happy giver, a hilarious giver. And so it's really simple. All these things are so simple. And so anyway, Carl Morton, we took them home. We had a wonderful breakfast in the morning. Becky came up for breakfast. Jason was going to come, but he had to do work. So he rung us up and sent his love and greetings. Becky stayed with us with little Alfie, the baby, and he was a little bit wary because he's only used to me. But he kind of come out of it at the end, didn't he? And then so we took them to the train station. And then I'm like, on the way back, okay, God, what's next? I want more. Give me more. So they inspired faith by coming, you know? It was encouragement to us. And I want more. And then the next morning I woke up, felt totally empty. And we just had all this glorious time. All this wonderful time. I think, oh man, what's going on? Like, you know, but then I just brought my mind back to who I am. I wasn't moved by my emotion. It was just a moment of time when I woke up, felt empty again. Like, what's this? Like, you know, this is rubbish. And so I say what I want, not what I see. I declare who I am as a son of God. And then that same day, which was yesterday, I had like 14 one-on-ones. You know, people calling. And I had two personal one-on-ones. Well, I had a one-on-one with Amber. And then in the evening time, Becky came and she had a one-on-two with me and Kim in the living room here. And it was really nice. It was different because it wasn't planned that way, but we had fish and chips because Leanne came and she took Leanne home and then Kim said, oh, I'll get the fish and chips. And she come back and then Becky turned up. So we was eating fish and chips and having a one-on-one for a couple of hours. It was great. So, you know, we just live our lives daily with God. You know, it's that we give our desires to God. We do the things that we need to do in a day, whatever that may be you need to do. But our heart is always to God and we thank God every day. Father, I thank you for my before ordained works, what you've got for me to do this day. It just might be saying hi to someone, I don't know. Or there might be an open door for you to encourage someone. And it's not that we got to go and manufacture it and speak to every single person. And I think it was like I said before, my mindset was if I saw someone with a plaster on their finger, I'd have to go and minister to them. Oh, do you want to be healed? God will heal you of that, you know. That's like a good heart, but it's not led by God. So we let God open the doors. And when it comes to ministering to people, let them come. You know, their desire to be healed, they need to come. You know, we can see the need and offer it, but their faith just might not be there. But let them come. Let them desire it, just like they desire the words that you've got to give them. And also through that week, I had old believers call me, saying, you know, saying different things that were going on, and they wanted to connect again. And that they're really listening to what we're saying. They've been hearing different things I've been sharing. And so, like, God is doing the work. He's building his house. He's building this body of Christ. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, right? We labor in vain if we're trying to build it. Except the Lord watch the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So, and I also realize when we're allowing God to work in us, we'll have so much to say. As you can, I always got so much to say, right? You're probably thinking, which I do, because God is energized and I have a desire to speak. I have a desire to encourage. It's a passion in me. It's something that's in me. I want to do the things God wants me to do. I want to encourage people. I want to see people do well. And you know what? The people that are connected are doing great. They're following. They're practicing. And that's where the difference is from someone that may be coming on and not seeing a lot. Or might be swaying in their minds. Oh, Lawrence was saying some real good things, but he said this and I'm not too sure. What do you do then? You take it to God. Father, you show me these things. Is this right? Is what he's saying right? You put it to the test. Like God says, prove me now herewith, if I will not pour you out the winds, a blessing out the winds of heaven. And what does it say in Romans 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You put it to work in your life and prove it. And prove it. And if it's from God and it's right on and it's sound doctrine, you will definitely prove it. Because it'll be in your heart, it'll be in your mouth, and it'll be manifested in your life. So that's what I wanted to share. And it's a practice. Everything we do is a practice. Yes, come on, you can share. is a practice, and we practice every day. That's it, just a simple practice. Go on, bro. Bless your heart.
Thank you. I just wanted to add on something because when you have a desire and you want to do something, you have to go to God to ask, is it the right thing to do? And I mean, you know, many examples that Jesus Christ spent a lot of time in prayer. And this situation with Peter sitting on a rooftop praying, he was preparing himself.
Everybody should be.
In a way, I guess. Because God put something on his heart, a revelation that was brand new to him. I mean, to all mankind, really, that the Gentiles should be included in the body. But this thing with us going to Bristol was not something that just came about. We were we really had a desire to go and see you guys, and we prayed a lot about it. And then we prayed, and we got in touch with you and asked, how would this be possible? And you said, you on your side, also I've been praying for an open door for this. And when God opens the door, it is just to walk through it.
Mm.
And the day that we ended up, or the period that we ended up on visiting you, was we left Norway on the Saturday morning. Sunday, of course, is a day off, and Monday was your bank holiday. Tuesday was the day that Kim was off, which is normally not happening. The same Monday and Tuesday, Brit was also off. So that means this was just perfect. And we came on a Saturday morning and left on a Tuesday afternoon, and we just had the best of time within that frame, that the door that God opened, so that we could have this time together. And it was definitely by God, because otherwise we would have been trying to manipulate or doing things by our own strength, and that wouldn't have ended up in such a great quality time, which we did have. So we really enjoyed ourselves, and this was a wonderful time. I won't repeat myself on that subject because I already made my point. But we have learned a lot on different things, and it's just a matter of letting the Word of God dwell in our hearts. And that's not only the written Word, but the living Word that God puts on your heart, puts in your through your spirit, in your mind. And that's when you go with that, and God opens the door. Take the opportunity and walk through it, because things does happen when with God on with you. So I just wanted to add that.
And that's also very phenomenal, because also the timing worked out that we got blessed, so that we was able to get the garden up together, buy new bedding, buy everything for you to be here, the food, the petrol. The taking care of you when we went out, God provided that for us. And it didn't mean we had to eat into our the abundance we had, the money that we had, like God gave us extra. It just come about. And so that's God working within the body of Christ, working in hearts. And so when we put to use the things that God gives us to use it for, then he's not going to withhold it from us. You know, he wants us to be abundantly blessed. He wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing, and I can certainly say God has blessed me to be the blessing. And we was able to encourage in every single area that we've been practicing in our own life. You know, we should only share what we know is right, what we've been doing and living ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do, and that's why it's powerful, because it's backed up with truth. You know, it's backed up with the experience, the genosko of that.
Yeah.
It works, this works. So it was just really great. So, you know, there is that scripture where it says God works all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purposes. And we're all called according to his purposes. We all love him. So all things are working together for our good. And it's just having that humility of heart, ready to receive, like, you know, ready to receive the words gladly. When we receive these words gladly, we don't resist them in the mind. That's what hinders us. That's what holds it up. That's what holds the growth up for ourselves and outside of ourselves. But we just ask God, because, you know, why are we worried? You know, God's with us, right? He knows our hearts before. He's going to take care of us. He's going to enlighten us. He's going to show us if something's wrong. we got that gift of Holy Spirit to discern. You know, that Spirit of God leads us into all truth. We need no man teach us. So why are we sweating? You know, it's just like, okay, God, you take care of this, and these things, let these things be proved, and he does.